Thank you. Welcome from Mitcham, wherever you may find yourself tonight, whether you're to the ends of the eastern suburbs through to Melbourne or you're watching from interstate, then we just want to say welcome. What a year 2020 is turning out to be. Tonight, the title of tonight's sermon is Fearless. And we're going to get into it in just a second. Let me pray. Lord, give me the words that you want me to say. Let us have ears to hear. Let our hearts be softened. Let our minds be ready to take your word and to hold fast to the promises that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now tonight, there's a lot of different passages that we're going to explore and go through, with the primary one being what Ben just read. So I encourage you to grab a pen and paper to jot down any verses that resonate with you, that grab your attention, because that's going to be God with his message for you. Now, well, I grew up in the 90s, far as my teenage years, and like now, there's brand names, and there's different brands that people were wanted to buy because they were trendy. Some of those brands still exist, and some of them have faded into, they're not around. There was one brand that if you lived through the 90s that you cannot have missed, and it was called No Fear. As a skater, someone who liked to live on the edge and do a lot of extreme things, this was, as an early Christian, this was something, this brand that I resonated with this aspect of no fear. I bought a shirt, which I managed to Google and find, called, and it said, "No fear, no limits, no excuses." They had other popular sayings from, "Are you afraid to die, or are you just afraid to live?" There was probably a few others that I won't repeat in church that aren't probably as appropriate, but there was these verses that were, or these sayings that were about not having fear. And see, the Bible actually talks a lot about fear, or us, that we shouldn't have it. And there are some things that we are to fear. So, what is it? And before we explore what the Bible says, we probably need to look at what fear itself is. Fear is an unpleasant feeling triggered by perception of danger, whether it be real or imagined. Anxiety is your body's natural response to stress. It is a feeling of fear or apprehension of what there is to come. Now, for many of you out there, this could be something and pre-existing to 2020 that you deal with on a regular basis. Some people are more prone to anxiety than others. And I'm not going to give you a medical lecture about why that is tonight or at any time here. But if you want me to explain some of the science behind why stress has, it's stuff that I love to talk about. But there's another aspect of fear, which is a culture of fear or a climate of fear. And this is something that we have found ourselves in 2020 more than any other time in my existence. This can be done accidentally around some events, or it can be done purposefully. The culture of fear is a concept that people may incite fear in the general public to achieve a political or workplace goal through emotional bias. What that means is the more that you create fear within a community, the more fearful that community becomes, and it spreads, much like a virus. And so this year, whether your fear is of the virus or whether your fear is of the effects of the virus on the human body or whether it's the effects on the economy, you may have been sucked into fear on one of those three things. But what the Bible says about fear, and what a lot of people say, that fear and love can't coexist. In fact, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fears. For fear is to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." We're going to explore how love and fear and what our response should be to fear, because fear and anxiety is a natural response to happen when we are stimulated with certain things. But God wants us to have a certain response when we notice that we are finding ourselves in a state of fear. Now, I've got a slide that's about to come up, and this slide has quite a few things, pictures of things that people may find scary or would cause fear. So we'll get this slide up. The first one that we have here is Miss Brioni Somerville. You're probably going, why has David put Brioni there? Well, look, I am able to say that I am, people think I am bold and fearless when I have hired Brioni to work for me. Now, what that is tonight there may be some slides that pop through. I don't know what comes through or not. But I came back from preparing tonight's sermon and found extra slides had been added secretly in behind my slides that they'd pop up when I started doing my rehearsal, thanks to Miss Somerville. And when I talked to Paul Bremner about this, he said, yeah, he's often fearful of Brioni. On a serious note, more things that people do think that I do that show a little bit of fearlessness is I like to do extreme things. As I said, I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie. When I was younger, I did a lot of skating, and I love wakeboarding behind a boat. I even let Zeph, my 8-year-old, cut my hair the other week. It was getting too long during COVID. Gave him the clippers. I like to go snowboarding with my brothers, and I go down some crazy runs and have a lot of fun with them. And I even jumped out of an aeroplane just before I turned 30 and went skydiving. People said, "Weren't you afraid when you were going to jump out?" I'm like, no, I wasn't. It was an amazing rush. I was probably a bit fearful to stay in the plane and watch it and be in it when it lands because it was so small and rickety. It was probably better to jump out. Last year, I found myself for the first time ever doing one of these extreme things, actually feeling fearful. We're going to watch the video, and as we watch the video, I'll then talk about it.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm just having skated for quite a long time on ramps, so I decided I'd give it a crack again. My blades might be a bit broken, but I've got to take them together so I can have to give it a shot.
Oh.
All right,
so can I show you one? Can you show us one of your tricks?
Well, I'll just show you how to drop it.
So, I went to a skate park with my kids, and I hadn't dropped in on a ramp in over 10 years. And as I got to the top of this first ramp, and I looked over the edge, and I looked down the face of this vert ramp, this steep drop down, this drop off, I started for the first time to overthink things. I started to go, what if I stack? What if I break my arm? I won't be able to work. I won't be able to treat my patients. I won't be able to earn an income. I'm not going to be able to provide for my family. I started to think about all these things. I couldn't believe how many thoughts could go through my mind as I stood at the top of this ramp. Could I do it? Could I still do it? Well, I got the courage and I got up to the edge and I dropped in. And it all took over. All my previous experience, all my skills to be able to do it, they kicked in. The next time I went to do it, it was a bit easier. And by about the fifth time, There was no fear every time I did it. And I think we find ourselves a little bit like that when God calls us to do things. It can be a bit scary. We can start to overthink it, wonder about, well, how's that going to make this person feel? Are they going to be offended by my actions? Or what if I do this? What if I do that? Oh, and we can start to panic when God's saying, it's okay. Trust me in this. And once we step out in faith and we learn that ability to be able to trust, then it's all worthwhile. Now, having fear is not necessarily a terrible thing. It helps us to analyze and think about our decisions. But if we let fear rule our lives and stop us doing what God calls us to do, then we have missed the point of what the Bible teaches us. So we're going to go through quite a few passages over the next little bit, and I'm going to look at what the Bible says about fear. According to Rick Warren, apparently there's over 365 verses on what we should and shouldn't fear. I didn't count them all, and I can promise you they're not all in here tonight, otherwise we'd be here for an awfully long time. But I have put in quite a few because I think it's really important to see what the Bible says on this. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 10:27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short." And Psalm 31:19 says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind." Luke says, "Mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." What we see is there's one fear that the Bible talks about that we are allowed to have and encouraged to have, and that is the fear of the Lord. Now, this fear is different to that fear of being scared or fear of with worry. This fear is a reverent fear. And sometimes when we use the word reverence, we can downplay what the fear means. And probably the best way of illustrating what this sort of fear is like having a good parent and the relationship they have with their child. In the aspect of when I go and play with Zeph and Ezekiel out on the trampoline, we like to wrestle and we like tackle each other and do stuff. And sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's them. But we have a lot of fun. And they know that even when they overpower me, they know it's because I let them. See, I have the ability and the strength to be able to suppress them, at least for now. But they know that I love them and I'm not going to intentionally hurt them and I'm not going to let something bad happen to them. See, they also have this aspect where they want to please me and they want me to be proud of them. They don't want to intentionally do the wrong thing, but sometimes they do. And so they can get a bit scared if dad puts on his angry voice when I need to discipline him. See, I think it's the same with the Lord, but remembering that he is a perfect parent, unlike us who never can be perfect. He wants the best for us. He loves us, but yet he's the creator of the universe, and with the click of his fingers, he can wipe us from existence. And so this fear is this fear of knowing that God is all-powerful, more powerful than anything other that we can come up against. But what the Bible is certain about is that he loves us and that we need to have trust in him. Abraham was commended in Genesis 22:12 for his faith and his fear of God. So if that's what we're allowed to fear God, what is it that we shouldn't fear? Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Now this isn't to be fearful of older males, not that sort of fear of man. This is the fear of what other people think, what someone else might do to you. I'll go as far as to say that the snare is something that a hunter would use to catch its prey. And so this verse is saying that is when we let fear of what others think of us, whether it be wider community, whether it be our family, our friends, our colleagues, the person that we are talking to down the street, in the park, when we are worried about what their response to us will be, that's a snare. And the more snares that are out there, the more you are likely to get caught by them. And so what this verse is saying is we shouldn't have fear of others, but we should trust in the Lord and he'll keep us safe. Matthew 10 verses 28 to 31, in fact, up to 39, I encourage you to read the full thing, but I'm going to just go through bits of it. It says, "Do not fear those who kill the body. Fear God, who can destroy body and soul, but yet fear not, for God values us more than sparrows." The bit that I left out in between talks about how a sparrow could fall to the ground, but God would know that it's going to happen. That he doesn't let anything happen without his go-ahead. And so what this verse is saying is we shouldn't fear anyone or anything that could cause us harm or death. But we should have this fear for God, but yet as well as having this fear for God, we shouldn't fear at all because God has our best interest at heart. But this verse comes with a warning that as much as we are to fear God more than anything else, God wants us to make him our number one priority. If we don't, then make him our number one priority, there's an element of when we have him as number one, we need to realize that everything else comes after him. Which means in verses 34 to 39 is that we may experience people even in our own household having difference of thought to the point where it's daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Well, we could probably see that. Mother against the father. Children against each other. Children against the parents. Look, the verses go on. And I think this year, didn't quite understand that. But this year, I think, particularly if any of you spend any time on social media, you can see the polar opposite opinions that people have and how each of these polar opposites can gravitate to each other and cause angst. As Christians, we want to stay united. We want to look at the big picture, the most important things about who God is for us. I want to continue. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. "So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What the Bible's saying here is that God provides for us. When you're in fear, do not fear because God will provide. Josh 8 verse 1 says, "Do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." Deuteronomy 3:22. "You shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you." See, in Joshua's case, he still had to go into battle, but God was going to fight with him. In Deuteronomy, we're getting told that God is actually going to do the fight for us. Sometimes we'll be called to go into it. Other times, God does it for us. Regardless is, God is on our side. He fights for us. Now we head into some of the Isaiahs. We'll start with 35 verse 4. "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, and he will come to save you." and 41:13, "For I am the Lord your God. I hold your right hand. For it is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." See, our God, we sing, He is mighty to save. He saves us and He helps us through our crises. In Isaiah 54:14, He says, "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you." He protects us. We have protection with God. Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We are on the victorious side, co-heirs with Christ, and we will inherit God's kingdom. We are on the winning side. God is with us. He protects us. As far as tonight's key verses, 43 verses 1 to 11, thanks again, Ben, for reading that. I just want to focus on five of those verses. And the first one, really interestingly, when I came to prepare tonight's message, the night before I'd watched the very first episode of The Chosen. For those of you who don't know what The Chosen is, and thanks to Owen and Lisa Woodall who introduced me to it, it's a mini TV series on the life of Christ. There's some fictional bits that they've added in to create storyline, but at the moment I'm really intrigued and loving watching it. But at the end of the first episode, I don't want to be too much of a spoiler for you, but you get the first lot of dialogue from Jesus. And He's talking to someone, and He says Isaiah 43 verse 1, or at least the second part. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." It is the most powerful part of this episode. And I watched that, then the next morning as I went to prepare this message, not knowing where that reference came from when I watched the Chosen, God just put it on my heart that He wanted me to speak on this passage, Isaiah 43 verse 1 to 11. Like, it just came to me as I was having my quiet time and preparing. So I read the verse, and as I'm reading this verse, I'm like, gee, it seems really familiar. And then it hit me. I'm sitting at looking at my pencil case, which had that brand, No Fear, on it that I talked about at the start of the message. And I realized that's what God wanted me to talk about. I realized that everything that He had put in place was about this message for you tonight. So what verse 1 is saying is that we have been redeemed. And we are called by His name. Verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you." We've read a lot of verses tonight, but this is another one saying that God is with us. In all our situations, wherever we find ourselves, He is there holding our right hand. Verse 4, "Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life." We are precious, we are honored, we are loved by the Father. You know how we know this? It's not just this verse. We know this because Jesus, separated by the Father, came to earth, lived a life of sorrow. He ultimately took our punishment and was killed for us. And so we could be restored to the Father. Not only did God give up peoples in exchange for our life. He gave up his son. That's how much he loves you. Verse 5, really relevant to what we are experiencing right now. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west, and I will gather you. We are scattered at the moment. We are not here. I am sitting or standing in a room of empty seats, except for the four up the back. We will be together again. Be encouraged. This will pass. And verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Yes, the Lord is our Savior, nothing or no one else. Let's not put our trust to get us out of this situation into a government. Let's not put it in the hands of a scientist for a vaccine. People will always let us down at some point. Let's not trust in ourselves to be our saviors. Let's look to the one and only that can be our savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He says that the road to destruction is like a highway. It's huge, it's wide, anyone can see it and get on it. But the path to righteousness, the path to eternal life, it's narrow and few take it. It's not that it's hard in the aspect of very little is needed to be done. We are not saved by our works or what we do. We are saved by what Jesus has already done. But you know, the hardest thing as humans is to reach out and take help. And so few want to take that help. Few want to rely just on Jesus. They feel like it needs to be Jesus plus. But we've been learning in the morning as we go through Galatians that Jesus plus anything is not the gospel. Jesus alone is what we need. Now, when you have somebody with a mental health problem, we seem to have this attitude, particularly in Australia, where we say, she'll be right, mate. She'll be right. She'll be apples. But it doesn't really work when you just tell someone, just cheer up or just get over it. So how can we not fear? I think some of the verses that we've had already tonight will probably give us a help with that. But there are some more verses that give us a lot of promises when we trust God with our fears. So let's have a look at them. Psalm 34 verse 4 and Matthew 7 verse 7 both say similar things. If we seek the Lord, he delivers us from our fears. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek and you'll find. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Matthew 28:20 says, I am with you to the ends of the age. God is with us. I think we've established that time and time again in tonight's message. Is no matter what you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself or what your crisis is or how you're feeling, God is with us. A few weeks ago, I probably was at my lowest that I've been this year. I've been suffering with a physical ailment for a week or two. I couldn't sleep. I was in anguish and pain for the 3 hours that I attempted to sleep. And it hit 6 a.m. and I went, I cannot bear to be still anymore. My pain, the short version of it, was only there when I was lying or sitting. I had no pain when I was moving about. In fact, my least pain was when I ran, so I got up. And I normally like to run short distances, sort of 3 to 5K, but I went, I'm just going to go for a run. So I started on my run, 6 a.m. We were in curfew, but curfew was okay at 6. And I started to go for my run. And as I ran, I just kept wanting to run. I felt amazing. God was ministering to me. I was listening to, and He was filling me up. He delivered me in my time of need. I felt at the end of it, I ran 8 kilometers, far more than I normally would run. And I was energized. I was ready to face the day. And I did. I went and did a full day of work, feeling amazing, only with what could be given and taught, said to be what God had given me. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is our stronghold and our safe place." He can minister to us. He can make us feel protected. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." 1 Corinthians 7:32 says, "I want you to be free from anxieties." Matt 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And Philippians 4 verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." See, what these verses are saying is, yes, we need to seek God, but we also need to go to Him. And we need to hand over our fear. We need to give it to Him. We can't hold on to it. If we hold on to it, He can't do anything with it. He needs us to release it and give it to Him to deal with. So if you're dealing with fear, you need to go to God and you need to give it to Him. Mark 5 verse 36 comes as Jairus has gone to Jesus about his sick daughter. And while being interrupted with the lady who had the bleeding, his servants come to him and say, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead." But Jesus says to the ruler, "Do not fear, only believe." What God is saying to us here through this passage is that we have to have faith, like Abraham. We have to have faith in the promises that He has given to us through His word. It's not alone enough to just read them. We have to believe them. The next little bit I have may seem a little left of what we've been talking about so far, but it's still very relevant about fear. 1 Peter 3 verse 14 to 16 says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." And 2 Tim 4 verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and complete patience and teaching." So I've put this in here because I felt that God was putting it on my heart, and I'm not sure who it was for, but there's two real messages in this. When you start experiencing the peace that only Jesus can give you in your heart, or you've been given some sort of encouragement that goes beyond human understanding, and you share that with someone and they ask why, don't just say it's because you're a positive person. Give the glory to God. So there's two different types of Christians out there. There's those that will keep their faith to themselves. And hopefully with what we did last year with EV Shift, there's a lot of you that are ready and willing to share and look for these opportunities. These opportunities arise, and we need to do it. We need to tell people why we have the hope that we have in our hearts. We need to be willing to give an account of what God is doing in our lives. But for some of you, you're really eager to do this, and that is awesome. But what this verse is saying to you is, I want you to make sure you're doing it with gentleness and respect. I want you to make sure that you're culturally sensitive, that you're not fearful of offending someone, but you're making sure that you're doing it in a way that is going to be positive in helping them reach and come to know the Lord. And so, if in good conscience you know that you're doing that, then that's awesome. But it's a reality check that some of us need to face. My last little sub-message under fear comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 onwards. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor supreme or the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put a silence to the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Philippians 2 verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. I could pick lots of different things that we're having to deal with at the moment due to COVID, but I'm going to pick one, which is mask. I've had different Christian brothers and say that, you know, that's attack on our freedom and it does this and that. I don't see anything in the Bible that says that we shouldn't wear a mask. In fact, this verse and many others saying that by respecting the authorities that God has put in place over us, whether we agree with them or not, we should honor their rules, particularly if they don't stop us doing what the Bible says. And you know what? If wearing a mask stops the spread of a virus, maybe even slows the spread just a little bit, then we should do it out of love for our community. And I think that's the key from 1 John 4:18, that there is no fear in love. Jesus calls us to love God with our everything, and to love everyone else. When we obey and we do not need our obedience, to be that out of fear, but we need it to be out of love. I don't know what your fear is tonight, but whatever it is, God wants you to hand it over to Him. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to hear this message from Jesus. Jesus is saying to you, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I love you. I know the plans I have for you, and they're not to harm you. I'm calling you by name. David, Ben, Amy, Michelle, Brioni, Paul, Brittany, Cass, Zeph, Ez, whatever else, whoever else is watching tonight, please put your name in here because Jesus is talking to you. Put your trust in me and don't be afraid. Let me wipe away your fears, your tears and your worries. Let's journey together. Make me your number one priority. Don't try to be your own savior. Trust me and have no fear.